old Arlington Stadium. It never hosted a Major League Baseball postseason game. The All-Star Game was never played there. Texas Rangers fans had a lot of fun at the old frying pan on the Turnpike for many years, but there wasn't a whole lot of baseball history there. However, there's one thing that Arlington Stadium did give to baseball that eventually spread well beyond the sport itself.
Rico's Nachos, a refreshingly new and different snack discovery. Chock full of high-quality ingredients, crisp, fresh tortilla chips, covered with creamy aged cheddar cheese, topped off with zesty jalapeno pepper rings. Rico's Nachos, out of sight.
Remember, folks, we're the new star at the snack bar. Rico's Nachos, a new taste treat you can't beat.
See?
Rico's Nachos, on sale at the snack bar now.
The concession stand version of nachos was unknown until the product was first sold at Arlington Stadium in 1976. And while the Rangers are still looking for their first ever World Series victory, nachos have been the champions of sports concession stands for quite some time. This podcast is called Crawfish Nachos, the baseball podcast from Northeast Texas. And in this first program, an explanation of this podcast's unusual name, and a look at how nachos became the most successful Texan contribution to the game of baseball. I'm your host, Mark Haslett. But before we travel to Arlington, we'll have to go south of the border, because the story of nachos begins 420 miles from Arlington, in the border town of Piedras Negras. It was 1943. With the United States at war, Fort Duncan in Eagle Pass, Texas, was a busy place. One group of officers' wives liked to go across the border to Piedras Negras, to a restaurant called the Victory Club. The women were frequent guests and became friends with the maitre d'.
His name was Ignacio Anaya, and his nickname was Nacho, because the nickname for Ignacio was Nacho.
That was Tony Liberto. His father invented ballpark nachos. One day, the ladies showed up at the Victory Club at an odd hour, and although Ignacio was at the door as always, there was no one working in the kitchen. Nacho thought fast. What could be prepared quickly and with minimal preparation?
He got some tortilla chips, and he shredded some cheese over them, and he put them in the oven, and then he threw some jalapenos on top of it, and he brought it to the table, and they loved it. And so that became one of their items that they liked, you know, as an appetizer. And one day they went in there and Nacho was not there, the way I've heard the story a few times. And so they told the server, hey, you know, bring us that dish that Nacho brings us. Bring us Nacho Special. And so the name Nacho got tagged to the chips, cheese, and jalapenos in the restaurant business back at that time because of a gentleman named Ignacio Anaya.
Easy to prepare and, of course, delicious, the nachos were an immediate hit with both restaurateurs and diners in Piedras Negras.
And that started spreading through a lot of the restaurants in Mexico, and, of course, it spread into some of the restaurants here in Texas because, you know, being a border state, the Mexican food craze, I guess you'd call it, got, you know, established here in Texas pretty soon as well. And so that's how nachos got started in the restaurant business.
Before leaving Piedras Negras, we should note that Ignacio Anaya's creativity was rewarded. He eventually opened up his own restaurant. Nacho Anaya, the inventor of nachos, was honored with a bronze plaque in Piedras Negras after his death in 1975. The city still hosts an international nacho festival on the second weekend of October annually. Tony Liberto is CEO of Rico's Products Company in San Antonio. His father, Frank Liberto, was the man who brought nachos from the platter to the paper bowl. Rico means rich or tasty in Spanish, but the company actually gets its name from Enrico Liberto, Tony's grandfather. And the Liberto family isn't Hispanic, but Italian. The Libertos trace their lineage to Rosario Liberto. He was a Sicilian immigrant who came first to New Orleans, then to Beaumont, and finally settled down in San Antonio. Once there, he established a grocery store. Over the decades, the family business expanded into wholesaling foods and other products. By the 1970s, they had customers mostly in the entertainment industry.
The main part of our distribution business was to distribute the products in the movie theater business. And we'd be a full-line distributor of everything you'd see behind that concession stand, the equipment, the candy, the popcorn, the cups, the janitorial goods, every item you ever saw, the hot dogs. Behind the concession stand, we were a full-line theater distributor. When we first got our first two distribution centers outside of San Antonio, they were in Dallas and Houston. One was right there in Dallas. And so one of our salesmen went over to offer some of our distribution items over to Texas Ranger Stadium. Yeah, sure, bring in your corn, bring in your equipment, bring in cups and janitorials, all that kind of stuff. And he noticed that they were shredding cheese on chips and serving them the old restaurant-style way in their club. And the gentleman came back and told my dad, man, they're selling some nachos, but they're serving it like in the restaurant business. It's, you know, and one of the most key ingredients in a concession item being successful is transaction time. When you're watching a baseball game, you don't want to miss that home run, or a football game, you don't want to miss that touchdown. So transaction time is very important. My dad said, if I can figure out a way to serve nachos in a matter of, you know, 10 seconds to these patrons, it'd be a success.
Frank knew that he would have a signature product for his customers if he could just find a way to make nachos a feasible menu item in a concession stand environment. He took his cheese and he went to work. The year was 1976, and the mood in the United States was mellow. The Vietnam War was over, Watergate was over, and America gladly turned away from its troubles to celebrate the nation's bicentennial. Main streets from Massachusetts to California were decked out in red, white, and blue. On Saturday Night Live, Chevy Chase's mock newscasts and stumbling impersonations of President Gerald Ford had the country laughing. Mood rings were groovy, earth shoes were comfy, pet rocks were silly, and a country exhausted by a decade and a half of chaos was finally relaxed. In Arlington, Texas, the local baseball team was in second place at the All-Star break. Not bad. The Kansas City Royals looked like a lock to win the American League West, but the Rangers were at least fun to watch. Future Hall of Famers Gaylord Perry and Burt Blyleven, along with veteran hurler Nelson Bryles, gave Texas a strong front end of the pitching rotation. On offense, the team's mid-70s tandem of first baseman Mike Hargrove, shortstop Toby Hera, and right fielder Jeff Burrows wasn't exactly murderer's row, but they could knock the ball around now and then. The concession stands, though. They had the same boring hot dogs and popcorn that you could get in Minnesota or Cleveland. Fortunately for Rangers fans, the man from San Antonio was about to emerge from his kitchen with that creation of pure genius, cheese sauce.
Which is in a number 10 can. It's, you know, it's in a liquid state, so to speak. And found another manufacturer that made a warmer. And he said he found a guy that could make some bulk chips in big 3-pound bags. And he said, okay, I'm going to introduce nachos to Texas Ranger Stadium. Arlington Stadium was what it was called back then. And they met with him, and they said, well, we don't want to put it in the concession stand because we don't want it to interfere with our hot dog sales or our popcorn sales, because those are our two biggest sales here in the stadium, and we don't want it to, you know, take away from those sales. But if you build a little kiosk, we'll let you sell nachos over there in the aisleway of the concession area, you know, behind the stands. And so Dad built these kiosks, these concession stands, these little nacho stands, and we started selling nachos at Arlington Stadium. And the line started just filling up behind these little stands, and people wanted their nachos. And he actually had I guess it was 8mm film back then. It might have been VHS back in 1976, I don't really know. But he said he videoed, I've seen the video when I was a kid, people standing in line, you hear the crack of the bat, and normally that would make people say, oh, I don't need to eat, I want to go watch the game. And people stayed in line, and they stayed in line, and they stayed in line. And it became an item that was very successful very soon. the concern that they had about the popcorn and the hot dog sales being affected, it was actually the opposite. Hot dog sales went up, popcorn sales went up, and, of course, beverage sales went up after you introduced nachos to concessions. And it's all because of one little ingredient, that little jalapeno pepper. After you finish an order of nachos, you have that spice in your mouth, and you're saying to yourself, you know what, I'm going to go get some popcorn. You know what, I'm going to go get another beverage. You know what, I might go get a hot dog now to kind of curb that spice in my mouth. So all the per capitas went up on the main items, and that's what made nachos such a success. And my dad is recognized as the originator of the concession nacho back in 1976, Frank Liberto.
If after hearing that you don't want a big bowl of nachos, then I can only presume that you've just eaten. The nachos knocked it out of the park, even as the Rangers went into a midsummer freefall. Texas finished tied for fourth with the California Angels, 9 games behind the Twins, 11.5 games behind Oakland, and 14 games behind first-place Kansas City. Whitey Herzog's Royals lost to Billy Martin's Yankees in the American League Championship Series, and the Yanks, in turn, were swept by Sparky Anderson's Reds in the World Series. Thus, defending champion Cincinnati were the kings of baseball throughout all of 1976. The bicentennial champions, congratulations, Cincinnati Reds. Meanwhile, more about nachos. Over in nearby Irving, a slightly more successful sports franchise specializing in football added nachos to the menu. The Dallas Cowboys helped bring nachos to a national audience, by accident. In 1978, Dallas opened the season on September 4th at Texas Stadium against Baltimore. The game was a snoozer, as a superior Cowboys team was dominating the Colts. And as often happens during blowouts, the play-by-play crew started looking for something interesting to talk about.
And the announcers back then were Frank Gifford, Howard Cosell, and Don Meredith. They'd always sit in the booth on Monday night football games. And between, commercials and stuff, they'd bring those announcers some snacks, and they brought them some orders of nachos. They didn't know what it was. They said, "What is this stuff?" And so on live Monday night football, they just kind of, chit-chatting between plays. "Hey, did you taste this new product they brought up here to the booth? These are good stuff. It's called nachos or something. Nachos, what do they call it? Nachos." And they were making these comments about this product on live television. Well, then Howard Cosell started referencing good plays. I think it was Tony Dorsett, was the player that, that was a great run. Man, that was a nacho run, because these nachos were hot and spicy, right? So Howard Cosell used an adjective of nachos to describe a couple of plays. Man, that was a nacho run. And, of course, you're hearing this on, national television. So that, gave it some type of an identity, I guess.
I'm pretty sure that Don Meredith already knew what nachos were, but it was Howard Cosell's addition of nacho to his lexicon of eclectic adjectives that helped heat up interest in the dish nationwide. Sadly, I was unable to locate audio of Cosell's use of the word nacho during that game. Dallas won in a rout, and recordings of that forgettable contest are rare. If you know how this station could get a DVD or other recording of that game, please email us at news@ketr.org. Monday Night Football, September 5th, 1978. Dallas 38, Baltimore 0. Known forever as the Nacho Game. Okay, enough nostalgia. Let's wind this up by talking about nachos now. Ballpark food has come a long way since the leisure suit era. Nachos are on stadium menus across the country, but to find out what the maestros of the art form are up to, let's stay close to home in Arlington, Texas, home of the ballpark nacho.
Everybody loves just the original nacho, which is, the Rico's cheese and the jalapenos. We sell that at 90% of our locations.
Casey Rapp is general manager of the Dallas-Fort Worth office of Delaware North. That's the company with the concessions contract with the Rangers.
We sell those for $8.25 And those are Tostitos chips along with the Rico's cheese and jalapenos. So that's kind of the most popular. But then we have a wide range of other items. I will say the largest one we have is called the Totally Awesome Nachos. And that comes in a full-size batter's helmet. And it has a few extra things with it. You can choose from brisket, chicken, or shredded beef. We top it with lettuce, pico, and then, of course, you know, Rico's cheese. And then a little cool topping that we put on is we actually put nacho cheese Doritos on top of it to give it a little extra flavor. So that's like the big crazy one. We also have a couple different variations with the Grande Nachos and the Super Nachos. Basically the same thing as the Totally Awesome Nacho, but they don't have the souvenir helmet and they don't come with the nacho cheese Doritos on it. So respectively, the Totally Awesome Nachos are $18. The Grande Nachos are $13 because they come with the brisket or chicken. And then the Supreme Nachos is the same thing, but it's the taco meat only, and that's $12.
He isn't done. There are yet more nachos to discuss.
You know, not only do we do it with nacho chips, but we also have a location out here that's called The Chipper, which is more of an Irish nacho. So we actually take fresh Yukon Gold fried kettle chips, and then we top those with either brisket, chicken, or beef, and we have a couple variations of those. We do a garlic version that comes with garlic oil and Parmesan cheese. We do a bases loaded version, which comes with bacon bits, sour cream, and chives. And then we do a Philly version, grilled peppers and onions that come on it. So as you can see, they've expanded a little bit. We also go along with the trend of the top-and-go Doritos, which is basically a bag of Doritos chips, cut the top of it off, kind of like you would Frito chili pie, except you use all the nacho toppings like sour cream and the Rico's cheese and green fried beans, and then you can get fajita meat in it. And then finally, you know, we have a wide selection of fans that come. They're very diverse to the ballpark. And a couple years ago, we added a vegan cart. We had just some normal vegan nachos. I don't want to call them normal because they don't use Rico's cheese. They use a milk-free cheese. They also, you know, are topped with vegan chili, tomatoes, black olives, and jalapenos on our new version this year. And then we just have the regular version, which you can just get with the cheese and jalapenos like you would a ballpark nacho. So as you can see, wide range of nachos, from the all-time favorite that was invented back in 1976 to vegan ballpark nacho that was introduced this year.
Casey Rapp, nacho impresario for Texas Rangers fans. One final note. Fans watching or listening to a game at home can now prepare authentic ballpark nachos with ingredients found at the local grocery store. In Spanish, queso means cheese, but in Texas English, queso is the golden cheese dip served at restaurants. Of course, the dip can be used to top nachos, and no longer must one melt Velveeta to make the stuff at home. Heat and eat versions abound. Right here in Northeast Texas, Fannin County has its own cheesy treat. Hell on the Red Incorporated is located in Telephone, Texas, population 210. The company is most famous for its tomatoey salsa, available in hot and mild versions, but Hell on the Red also sells what it calls a hot and spicy cheese dip. Down in the Metroplex, Plano-based Frito-Lay sells a cheese sauce under the Tostitos label, and in Fort Worth, Mrs. Renfro's makes three kinds of cheese sauce, a classic nacho style, a smoky chipotle, and a fiery ghost pepper cheese sauce. And there are many more. Not to be outdone, Rico's products can also be found in grocery stores. Currently, they have 8 different cheese products, including a queso blanco, for those who'd like their cheese sauce to have a more south-of-the-border style.
We're in retail, grocery retail outlets all 50 states, all across the United States. And we're also selling all of product in, about 57, 58 different countries now. So we're all over the world.
Well, I'm just glad that up here in Commerce, Texas, we can get them, because we'd always get all the fun things that y'all get in the grocery stores in Central Texas and South Texas. So we do have that, and we can put our own regional twist on them. Something that we do up here in the spring is we use a little crawfish in our Tex-Mex in the same way, basically just substitute it for shrimp.
Awesome.
Yeah, crawfish nachos are a good thing. I promise.
That sounds delicious.
It really is.
I just had a 5-pound box of crawfish last Friday.
Yeah.
Because of mine from Louisiana, but I never even thought about mixing it with cheese. That sounds delicious.
It really is. It really is. It's not something you want to eat every day, probably, but it definitely hits the spot with a nice cold drink in front of a ball game. And if you're preparing ballpark nachos at home, be sure to get the round chips and serve them in a bowl. That way, you get all the cheese. This is Crawfish Nachos, the baseball podcast from Northeast Texas. This podcast is a production of KETR in Commerce, Texas. I'm Mark Haslett. Our next program will venture away from the concession stand and onto the playing field. Until then, keep it cheesy.